Hey, glad to be here. My name's Duane. I'm the pastor of discipleship, if we haven't met before. Glad to be here. So, in the movie Bruce Almighty, if you haven't seen it, just to give you a little of a context for why I chose that clip. So, Bruce, Jim Carrey, is thinking to himself, now none of you have ever thought this, it only happens in Hollywood, but thought to himself, I could do a better job than God. No, none of you have ever thought that. You have never thought, well, God, you're not doing it when I wanted to, you're not doing it the way, nobody else here thinks that way, but in Hollywood, they come up with these crazy sketches, right? This is tongue-in-cheek, because we all think that way, right? Man, if I could just be God for a day, all heaven would break loose around me. Well, if you saw the movie, all heaven doesn't break loose, right? All hell breaks loose because we could not be God, like, over a small little area, like for 1 minute without things falling apart, right? So I want to talk about that a little bit today, is what it would be like for each of us to recognize we have more power than we realize. Okay, we'll just take a little baby step together, all right? We have more power than we realize. Now, I'm a big fan of superhero movies. Anybody with me? And lately, Hollywood has realized there's lots of people like me, and they're making lots of money making movies. And I've got just, you might see your favorite movie in this montage up here. When I was growing up, Superman was my favorite, right? And if we'll be honest, when we go to those movies and when we're in the dark room for an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever it is, we identify with that superhero and we wish we had some of that power, right? We walk out of the movie room just a little bit taller thinking, maybe I could do some of that stuff. Or I wish I could do some of that stuff, yes? Yeah? So the easy explanation for why Hollywood is racking up lots of money and we keep giving them money going to these films is because it touches a very human, self-centered, I want to be powerful, I want to be king for the day, I want to be God for the day. It could be tapping into all of that, but I think there really is a more spiritual component that's operating at the baseline, and that is God has created us in His image, and He has placed in us the Holy Spirit who gives us power. That's the thesis for today's talk. Now, I know that, well, let's pray, because I'm a little bit worried here that you guys are going to throw stones at me, but before this is over. You guys got any stones under the seats? Huh? Come on. You got one? All right. So if you don't know me yet, I like it when you talk back. So if you want to say, that was good, or like, huh? So I like it when you talk back. It makes me feel comfortable and at home. Can you do that? Thank you. Oh, I'm feeling better already. I'm feeling the love. I'm feeling the love. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this place. Thank you for this space that we've carved out for about 25 minutes just to think seriously what it would be like if we had more of your power. And Lord, we want to say that we invite you to teach us and to help us experience more of your power today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Let's read this first. So Luke is writing to his good friend Theophilus. I don't know if he's really a good friend or not, but writing to Theophilus, and here's what he says. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, which we just celebrated a few weeks ago at Easter, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. So in this window of time between Easter and Pentecost, there were these days where Jesus made appearances as a superhero. Play with me here, right? Are you playing with me? All right. Yeah, I gotcha. Who said that? All right, come on. I gotcha. So I like metaphors. I like pictures. It's like here we are in this window of time, and if we would roll the calendar back to that period of time, Jesus would be popping in and out doing superhero kind of stuff. All right? He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. The thing Jesus liked to teach about and explain more than anything else was the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. So like, keep that in your brain as we go through this. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John the Baptist, baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. This is the key verse now, okay? This is all kind of a lead up to what Jesus said. But you will receive power. I've got the power. Yeah? I'm just tying you back here. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and as a result of this power, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. Now, everybody breathe. Okay. Here's the contrast. When Jesus walked on this earth as the Son of God, filled with the Spirit of God, he was a lightning rod for controversy. So much controversy that it led to his death. When God gets in our stuff, when God gets in our space, we can feel threatened. We can feel threatened. This happens. God is powerful. And when he gets inside a human, the God-man Jesus, and he walks into the space of religious people, it gets unnerving. In fact, if we would go behind the scenes and hear the meeting of the Sanhedrin, if we would hear the Pharisees and the Sadducees talking, here was their deal. If this guy keeps doing what he's doing, the Romans are going to come and they're going to take away our power. Jesus came with a different kind of power, and it threatened man's power. Now, the Holy Spirit has a similar effect on us today as Jesus did then. Are you with me? God shows up in Jesus as a man 2,000 years ago. God shows up through the Holy Spirit in us today, and he becomes a lightning rod again. Now, there's something. What did I do with my, I've got to mention this. We're not going to do this live, but so when I first started learning about the Holy Spirit back in the 70s, thanks to King James, he was called the Holy Ghost. I'm like, come on now. I don't like ghosts. I didn't like ghosts when I was a little kid. I didn't like ghosts when I was a teenager. And I'm not so fond of ghosts today. Are you tracking with me? Now, some of you watch horror movies. I know it. You're out there, and you don't want to come clean. I don't like horror movies. I don't like thrillers. I don't want to be scared. All right? So I'm going to be a little bit of a PR public relations person for the Holy Spirit, in saying, the way that I've come to terms to really understand the power that is in me through the Holy Spirit, so he's less of a lightning rod and less threatening, is to realize this. Here's the text. Look at, I'm going to put it up on the screen, John chapter 14, verses 9 through 14. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So when God the Father wanted to go live and he wanted to get up close and personal with his creation, he did it in and through the presence of Jesus. Jesus says, how can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. It's God in me. Jesus is saying, I've got the power. I've got the authority. When you see me, when you hear me, you're getting a glimpse of this invisible God that you've always wondered about. He is here. I am he. Yes? You tracking with me so far? Everybody gets that theology, right? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it's the Father living in me who is doing his work. Now, here's the bomb. So everybody fasten your seatbelts. All right? Here's the bomb. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Now, when Jesus walked this earth, we know that he carried the power and the presence of the kingdom inside of him, and that wherever he went, the kingdom went. This is radical shift of theology. I'm going to take a side road here. I shouldn't do it. I'm going to run out of time, but I've got to do it. In the Old Testament, it was all about staying away from things that might contaminate you and make you unclean. So you had all of the rules that you didn't do certain things because you were protecting yourself. Jesus flipped that all the way around and said, I now, as the emissary of God himself, am going to go to unclean things and make them clean. Is that a paradigm shift or is that a paradigm shift? Yes? Is that awesome or is that awesome? Because suddenly it's like this defensive posture, like, oh no, I don't want to touch that leper because my relationship with God is going to be impacted adversely if I do that. That's an Old Testament perspective. And honestly, we have a little bit of a hangover in the church today from that Old Testament perspective. We need a shift where we realize we have the power to be a thermostat where we can adjust the temperature rather than just a thermometer that's constantly influenced. Now, that's a very trite illustration, but you've heard that before. We are the thermostats that set the temperature for the kingdom of God. Why? Because we have the power. Let's say that. We have the power. We have the power. Yeah? All right. I forget where I left off. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, or believe on the evidence of the works themselves. What he's saying is, the power leaks out of me in such a way that you saw that happen, and you're struggling right now with the idea that I am God in the flesh, but I want you to think back to all those things that I've been doing. Can you explain those things in any other way that God is in me? Very truly, I tell you, fasten your seatbelts, whoever believes in me in Westchester and attends Faith Community United Methodist Church, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Now, let's be honest. This is honest time. there must be another explanation, because we don't see the stuff that Jesus did. We don't see it now. So there must be another explanation. This can't be right. Right? We've got to put a footnote in there so we can pacify one another. No, that really doesn't happen today. I went to a church where they gave us all the footnotes and they explained why this stuff doesn't happen anymore. So that's how I started my journey. This stuff doesn't happen anymore. I need to shift gears. So, here's a Bible story. We're not going to put it on screen, but I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to tell some stories. So, push the button on the iPad, click Bible, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Peter and John were going up. So Peter and John believed that the power of the Holy Spirit was in them because Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit came. Acts chapter 2, the power of the Holy Spirit came, and a chapter later, Peter and John are going to the temple, the time of prayer. It's 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Money. Go down to Cincinnati before a Reds game, and you will see not necessarily people who can't walk, but people asking for money. I like money. You guys like money? Everybody likes money. Money can do lots of good stuff, yes? Money is good. So this is very normal that this guy would be asking for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Everything's cool right now, right? Makes total sense. Then Peter said, "I don't have any money." And the man's countenance fell. That's not how it goes. I'm just making this up. "Silver or gold I do not have." But you could imagine if you're walking down Cincinnati and somebody's asking you for money and you say, "I don't have any money." Huh, that's really what I wanted. Here's what happens. "But what I do have, I give you." So my question is, what is it that you have? My life mission is that I want to be the difference that makes a difference. I want to be a different person in my power that when I go to places, I change the atmosphere. Why? Why is that my mission statement? Because I believe what Jesus said, that he's given us the Spirit so that we have power and we can do things like Jesus did. That is weird. Just a little bit later, I'm going to measure to see how weird this is. But for right now, if you'll be honest, what I just said is a little bit weird. Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Now, if you'd never walked before, and in door number 1, you could have some money, or door number 2, you could have a miracle and you could walk. How many would choose door number 2? Getting healed, getting touched by the power of God is better than money. Nothing wrong with money, right? Nothing wrong with money, but wow, getting God's power is better. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. Instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And that was a good day in church, wasn't it? That was a good day. That was a little bit different than church as usual. What? Huh? You right? Are you with me? Then he went into the temple with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. All right, story time. Enough teaching. Hey, where's my I left it. Oh, boy, I left my phone because we thought it interfered with my thing. But, okay, So my daughter created this app. In the old days, if people were really figuring things out, they would have like an amen or something like that. In just a minute, I'm going to tell you some stories, and then I've got my weirdometer. We're not going to turn it on yet, but with my weirdometer, I'll just kind of scan the crowd, and we'll figure out how you're doing, okay? Is everybody up for it? This new technology, I had to get a teenager to do it for me, right? Can't figure it out. So let me tell you some stories. So when I first encountered Jesus, probably like you, I was in a church. I was hearing the message of salvation. I so sensed that I needed a Savior. I wanted my sins to be forgiven. And I would sit in the chair every time they would give like an altar call. They called it invitation at the church that I went to. And I would feel God saying, get out of your chair and get up there. You know you want me. Yeah? I mean, you have that sense. I felt God. Okay? And I remember when I finally obeyed and I said, Jesus, I want you, and I got baptized, and I remember, oh, what a good feeling it was. It was so awesome. It was great. A lot of emotions are just like on steroids. I felt so much joy and peace and love, and honestly, my theology was about as rich as this. Oh, good, I've got my ticket punched so that when I die, I'll go to heaven, right? That was the extent of my robust theology. I wanted fire insurance, right? I didn't like ghosts, and I didn't like the fires of hell, so I want to get my insurance so that I don't go there. I was very deep as a 15, 16-year-old of my understanding of God and the grand scheme of things. I'm making fun because I didn't know a ton. Fast forward, and I'm an older person now, and realizing it seems like if God, you're really real and you're really in me, I should sense your presence in a more tactile way more often. Like if this stuff is true, if I've got the power, why don't I feel more of that? And I remember being at a kind of a crossroads of sense, like, God, this sucks. So I was in a worship thing. I was leading a retreat, doing some worship with some guys. I was kind of like laying on a floor or something as the worship leader was doing his thing. And I didn't ask for it. But I had this sense, I was laying down, that you know those vests they put on you when you go to the dentist so that when they blast you with x-ray, your whole body doesn't get zonked, right? I remember this warm, cozy feeling that I had that thing on my body, and I'm laying on the floor, and I said to the other guys, I said, do you feel an amazing, sweet presence of God right now? And they're like, well, we're loving the music and we're feeling great, but nothing different. And it's like, guys, I've got this feeling that there's this weight of God's presence on me, like a wonderful, cozy blanket. And I could throw the blanket off if I wanted to, but I don't want to. This feels good. I remember later in the middle of the night just feeling like, well, God, I need to get better at feeling intimate. Now, when I think about intimate as a guy, it's hard to think about God as a guy and we're going to be intimate. Are you tracking with me? Right? The whole gender thing, it really messes with my mind. But I know you should have a personal relationship and be intimate with God, and it just causes my mind to spin. But this idea of that heavy sense of embracing, it kind of felt good. And even as a guy, it's like, I can go for that. That feels good. It's like, I like that, God. Could we do that again? And so I remember praying, it's like, I love that feeling. Could we do that again? And I'm in bed, and guess what? It happens again. And I'm like, that's awesome. So I didn't hear any amens. I'm going to fire up the weirdometer here. Look up on the screen. We'll see how we're doing on the weirdometer so far. Oh, you say that's believable. That's awesome. I haven't lost you yet. You could imagine getting saved and feeling awesome. You could imagine maybe God just coming close and it feels good. I haven't lost you yet. Got another story. I was doing outreach in Hamilton, and the leader asked me if I would take some teenagers around the city of Hamilton and pray for people. And I felt God say to me, don't just pick anybody of the teens. Be strategic and listen to me. There's certain people I want. Now, how did you know that, Dwayne? I don't know how I knew that. I believe he lives in me, and I believe he can talk to me. Did you ever hear the audible voice? No. So it's like, I want you. So I had two girls and a boy. They're kind of getting to know each other. They're kind of warming up. The first guy we meet on the street is a teenage boy, and he's outside in a car, and his mom just went in the store to buy something. Hey, we're just out on the streets trying to do good, encourage people. Anything you need encouragement for or prayer, start out really soft. Encouragement. Nobody freaks out with encouragement. Prayer. Weirdometers starting to freak them out, right? Who are you dudes? Fortunately, it wasn't just some old guy saying, hey, like he's weird. Three of his peers are with me. They're like the cool factor. So he starts to say, yeah, things are really tough at school right now. I'm going through a hard time. And we can tell he's really wanting to say something that's really like he wants to hear God see it. And his mom walks back out to the car and I don't think I want to talk anymore. We thought, oh, that was weird. We go to the next person. And the guy has got all tattooed up and everything, and he's got a tattoo of marijuana here and a tattoo here, and he's talking about just a very tumultuous life. Okay, if we pray for you, it sounds like you've had a rough life. Pray for him. It's all great. We go to the next guy, and he's got violent kind of a history. He's hurt people, and he says, I'm just so violent, and I break out in a rage. Would you just pray that I can have God's peace? So we pray for him. So we prayed for lots of people. Me and the three teenagers are walking back to the church where we launched, and we're sharing stories about what God did and how the peace of God and the love of God and everything went out. The 14-year-old boy goes like this, wait a minute. All of what just happened is all about me. Let me tell you my story. I am currently smoking marijuana. When I saw that picture of marijuana on the tattoo in that guy's arm, suddenly God spoke to me, and it's like, you need to do something about that. I'm afraid to tell my mom. When we talked to that boy and he was afraid to talk because his mom was coming, again, I felt God saying, you need to do something. And when we talked to that guy with all the anger issues, he said, that is me. Would you guys pray for me? So I'm thinking, all of that was a parable for that 14-year-old boy that was a Christian. This is in the youth group, right? All of what we did, yes, it was good for all of them. I'm not negating that we blessed people in Hamilton. But I'm thinking to myself as we walked away, it's like, how in the world could anybody orchestrate that? How could you put that together? Okay, now we need to go to this house first. We need to go to that house next. You couldn't do that, right? Let's check our weirdometer here and see how we're doing. If you'll put that up on the screen, see how we're doing. Whoa, this is not good. Questionable. I don't know about that stuff you're thinking. Last story. So when I was trying to go from very deficit in understanding the power to getting more power, I went to lots of conferences, I read lots of books, and I saw people do something where they would have somebody sit in the leg, sit in a chair and pray for their leg to grow. I'm very skeptical, suspicious, and things weird me out. So I grew up thinking all this thing about healing people's weird. Then these people I like, they're doing weird things, and I'm like, oh, I just want to send them an email. Don't do that anymore. That is so stupid. Are you with me? Everybody's got that thing. It's like, come on now. I like you. Don't be weird. I don't like weird, right? But I love these guys. Oh. So over the Rhine, Saturday morning, I'm just calming my thoughts, and I hear the Lord say, you're going to pray for somebody's leg to grow. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You know what I think about this. And I told God, it ain't going to happen. Did you ever do that before? God asks you to do something, you say, ain't going to happen? You guys don't do that. I do that. So I get to the place. We're walking towards Washington Park. I'm on the main road, I'm walking like this, and two guys are walking towards me, and this one guy is just like this, limping. And I turn to Ben, it's like, oh crap, I'm supposed to pray for Ben, this one's mine. So I come over to Ben, I think his name was Larry, and I'm like, hey, I couldn't help but notice you're limping like crazy, what's going on? He says, I was in this accident a few years ago, they did their best to fix everything. Tells me the whole story. I explained to him, it's like, hey, we're just walking around praying for people. And I always make things funny so people aren't weirded out. It's like, and sometimes something actually happens. Like, it even surprises me. Like, I'm really lowering his anxiety. Could I just pray for you? All right. So I have said nothing about a leg growing. He has said nothing about his leg being shorter. He's just talking about his hip is all jacked out of shape. His level of pain on a scale of 1 to 10 is an 8. And he's just walked from northern Kentucky all the way over into Cincinnati. And he's in a lot of pain. And I can tell by the way he's walking. And his friend is standing right there next to him. So Larry, just going to pray real quick. God, thank you. I know you love Larry so much. John 3:16. That's true, right? I pray John 3:16. And I know that Jesus taught that the kingdom realities that we're supposed to pray that heaven would come to earth. Our Father who does art in heaven. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in heaven, we're not going to walk like this, right? And we're not going to have level 8 pain. I read that in the Bible too, right? Sickness, pain, it's all gone in heaven. So if Jesus told me to pray that the kingdom would come, I prayed John 3:16, that was true. I prayed Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, I don't know where it is, Matthew 5 or 6, right? The Lord's Prayer. I'm safe so far, right? Here's what happens. You can say the weirdometer. We're going to check the weirdometer in just a minute here, and we'll find out what you're really thinking. But here's what happened. I don't like legs growing. I think it's stupid. God asked me to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't even pray for his. I'm being rebellious. You know what? 45-second prayer. Larry, let me check in with you. You were really like moving around a lot when I'm praying. What happened? Kid you not. He said, the moment you placed your hand on my shoulder, I felt my leg grow. I was the shocked one. What? I'm telling you, and he repeated it again, and his friend standing there, when you put your hand on my, what just happened? He felt the power. I wasn't even cooperating. I don't even know if this is like biblical or something. Like, where was my faith? What the heck? What was I doing? I wasn't very cooperative. There's something in us if we believe in Jesus. I don't have it all figured out. The more questions I get answered, it opens up a variety of questions I can't answer. Yes? Let's make sure. I think I've lost joy. If you'll just fire it up again. I've got a bad feeling right now. Let's see how we're doing. Oh, no. This is not good. See how they're doing on this side over here? Oh, my gosh. You flipped it to outlandish. All right. I knew this was going to happen.